First chapter, 13th verse, down to the 18th. We'll probably take it tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the next one. I only got two more, I think two more to do. Yeah, I got three more after this. This is the eighth one on our list. We finished the seventh one. This is the eighth one tonight. And our cost of discipleship, knowing that when you're no longer a babe. Let's do a quick review on them, see if how many of y'all can remember some of them. The first one is count it all joy when you come, when trouble comes your way. The second one is when you know that tribulation comes not to destroy you, but to make you strong. The third one is, you know, when you're not a babe, but you're a mature Christian. When tribulation, trials, and trouble works, all you have to do is let patience have her perfect works. And so number four, give me the fourth one then. Am I right now? Four, when you stop asking for things that you don't need and you start asking for things that God wants you to have to be successful. Fifth one, when you don't waver on things. Sixth one, when you take pride and happiness in being humble or in humbling circumstances. The seventh one, when you endure trial here and you want to be blessed in glory, not on earth. And inside the seventh one, we dealt with the five crowns. You got me? Y'all better start taking notes. You're going to start getting tests from me. Eighth one is what we're going to deal with today. When you're a mature Christian in James, are y'all with me? The eighth one, you have to know the source of sin, or you have to know the sin cycle. When you become a mature Christian, I'm very careful how I teach this tonight, but I'm not dealing with babes. I'm going to give y'all something. Listen to this for a minute, okay? You ready? Let's take it this way. Sin was not introduced, the word S-I-N, was not introduced in the Bible until Genesis, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. How many of y'all thought sin was introduced in the garden? It was the S-I-N word was not introduced until Genesis, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. In the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word sin was only used one time, and that was in Matthew 18, chapter 21st verse. But John, in the book of John, talked about sin, S-I-N, 13 times. Luke used it in Acts, the book of action, only one time. The seventh chapter, the 60th verse. How often do we use the word sin in church today? I said, Lord, why didn't it, what's the problem here? He said that the people put too much emphasis on the word sin and not understanding what sin is about. Me and Lady Marguerite was talking about this the other day when she was talking about sin. The creation of man, the fall of man. And you have to understand what the word sin really means. The word sin comes from the original word is just simply this, missing the mark. That's it. That's it. So in order to miss a mark, you have to have a well-defined mark pronounced correctly to individual in order for you to be held accountable to what? Missing it. Now, the word sin is used after the book of Acts more than is used any other time in the Bible when he talks to the churches. Because then once the letters come out in Romans, the mark has now been set that we have to accomplish or reach the goal that God has set before us. It wasn't spoke about most in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, because of only one reason. And that reason is simply that Jesus Christ has not died yet. So we always was going to what? Miss the mark. Now, the words that was used before then was disobedient, falling short. The words that was used before that was man disobedience to God or what God said. That was the main word that was used, man's what? Disobedience. They even Romans, Paul took it up and said that by one man's what? Disobedience, we was made what? Sinners. By one man's what? Obedience, we was made what? So what we need to understand, and I think that inside the church, we put too much emphasis on sin. Let me explain to you what sin is. Sin is your disobedience into the fullness. There's other stages before sin occurs in your life that we need to talk about tonight. The cycle of sin. Because you can stop sin before it gets there. There is no excuses. Because now there's a mark that's been set for all of us that's up here. And it's not a one-time movement with God on the sin cycle that he really looks at. Watch what the scripture really deals with here. And I'm here, I'm going to talk tonight about a mature Christian will stop sin before sin can occur. Sin is a word to use for babes that can't stop or can't help themselves. We deal with this word sin more than we ought to. We need to deal with another word more inside the body of Christ. Let's check it out. Ready? James, the 13th chapter, read.
James 1:13?
Yes.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
So let's just throw God out the equation. Stop thinking that God is allowing sin to be in your life and causing sin to come in your life. In other words, what he's dealing with in the scripture here, that God cannot tempt you. He cannot tempt you. He cannot try you or attempt to try you to see whether something can happen to you or something will happen to you. God do not allow things to come in your life the way that we think it do to tempt you. God wants you to be successful 24/7. Tribulations that he allow us to go through for his namesake is different than being tempted by him. Trials that he allow us to go through for his namesake is different than being tempted by him. Too many of us was blaming God for too many things that God says, I ain't have no hand in it. He sits on the throne. Everything goes to him. But do you know you have more power than God do? You want to know why? Because every individual in here has created you to be a what? A free will being. God do not make you do anything that you don't want to do. So really, you're in control of the game, not him. Let me mess with some of y'all tonight. So you can't say that you're in trouble because of God. He never made you do anything. He didn't make you do this. He didn't make you do that. He didn't make you get in this situation. So he really don't have to bring you out. There was different levels that happened in your life before the fullness of sin came about. So just because you sinned and God didn't bring you out, it ain't his fault. You had every opportunity before the sin got to the fullness in you to avoid that sin out of your life, that sin could not come in your life. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm putting a ball in each and every last one of our courts from this day on. You can't even get upset with God anymore about anything. Because what happened tomorrow, you done had five chances for then that happened tomorrow for you to stop it from happening. But you chose to allow it to continue on. That's what I want to deal with, the cycle of sin. Let's go. Why are you going to test you? Tell me why he's going to test you. Do he know everything? He knows everything. See, everybody want to deal with the Abraham test. That's a poor translation. He really didn't test Abraham at the level of what we may think. What he did, he gave Abraham an opportunity to see and be close to him. He already had the ram stuck in the bush waiting for Abraham. To be tested means that if you fail, that's it. The ram was already there. He already was waiting for him to do this, to say, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand on thy only son. He said, but now I know that thou fearest God. In other words, you have brought into the earthly realm a relationship that I've been desiring from individuals that will give up anything that they have just for me. Because of that movement, I'm giving you a message that I'm going to preach. Because of that movement, God has linked on to us and became our provider. It was because of the Abraham movement that he is required to provide for us. That's simply this. Because there was no good thing that he would withhold from God. So God says what? There's no good thing I will withhold from what? The testing that they put in the scripture is not clearly a correct terminology. It's pretty much, but hold on, let me define that. It's a perfect word. It's just that today English is not a great translation of the word. Let me ask everybody in here, what's a test for that when you go in school? To what? No, don't. It's to show what? No, it's to show you that you have obtained this information that I have taught you throughout the week and that you have obtained it. It is a proving factor that you have a what? Obtained the knowledge. That's why they get so upset when you cheat on a test. Only thing a test do is prove to you and the teacher that you have what? Obtained the knowledge that I need for you to do. Where? Here. It's an openly confession of that which you already what? Knew. But knowing it is not good. I mean, it's not good enough. You need to show that you know it. So what the whole movement with Abraham was to show everybody. Y'all forget who watching, the devil, to show the devil that he loves me enough to surrender over his only son. Not worrying about what the wife may think, the lads may think, or how foolish he may look in it. It's a proving factor. That's it. God already know the end result. So it's not a tempting or testing movement as we per se or like to do it in our slang or our ebonic talk. Y'all got me? So he don't do that. He don't put you in anything that he knows you're gonna fail at. Did y'all know that? He don't put more on you than what? It may take you 2 or 3 retests, but you're gonna eventually what? So, do y'all know that the game has been rigged? I don't know where I'm here, but let me stay here. The only problem is that you're getting up before the end of the exam. So you got to retake the test again. He already knows you're going to pass it. He's the best teacher. He poured knowledge in you. He do not sit you in a class to take a 12th grade exam when you're only in a second grade. He's an awesome teacher. The problem is that we don't want to be taught. We want to graduate without going through anything. We don't want to attain knowledge anymore. Y'all don't know how many times I done heard and seen over the last, since we got back from Dallas, and I felt so bad about how much that was well needed in this church. How much you get, I'm getting emails about people saying that how they gone to the next level or they were struggling before they left and they feel so much stronger and secure. And God whipped me because even to the level of we got to constantly put aside in this ministry help for the leaders in this ministry to get us to the next level. I only can teach so much. But there are some well-rounded teachers that Eric needs to sit up, need toolish well. We didn't even, how often did we see Eric? Didn't see him. You know what the beautiful part about it? His wife didn't even see him. You ask where, he hanging out with the musicians. I can't teach him what he needed to know. His wife can't teach him what he needed to know. But our problem inside church, we don't want to sit up and be a pupil. We don't want to learn. But yet we want the glory. We don't want to go through anything. But yet we want the anointing. From the time he left, wasn't Marguerite, till the time I've seen him a couple of times. And every time you see him, you had to wait for him. Because he went down there with a mission statement. And there was other ones. And he's not the only one. I'm just pulling them to the side. That was the same way. They weren't going to let nobody stop them from attaining what they needed. In this ministry, the only way we're going to grow when we start linking on and locking on with other people that are well-skilled in certain areas and we gleam off the field. At the beginning of next month, I'm going to the Hampton Minister Conference because I need to constantly be fed. Because I need to go and be taught more. And that's what he really wants from us. And some people say, well, I don't really understand it. It's cool. Don't worry about that. Your spirit will. I never forget, I heard this message one time, and I did never grab it. And then like 2 years later, it came back to my remembrance when I could understand. You'd be shocked what your spirit stockpiles up for you. Don't be afraid to get tapes and replay tapes later on. I don't know why I'm with here, but we cool now. We'll stay there for a minute, okay? All right, let's go. Where were we at? Oh, there we go. 14.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his...
Well, let's look at this word. Tempted means to try whether a thing can be done. To attempt, to tempt or to try to see how he may behave or someone may behave. So don't say that God is trying you and tempting you to see how you're going to behave because don't he already... Let's go.
When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
That's where I want to get at. Right there. That's where I want to get at. You are tempted because you've been what? By what? So we're going to deal a little bit tight in this. The problem is not sin. The problem really not being tempted. The problem is there's a lust on the inside of you that you refuse to deal with. I really like this because now I'm beginning to understand. Let's look what lust means. Let's look. Lust means simply this. Ready? A desire, a craving for what is forbidden. You have this desire, a craving, something on the inside of you and me that the devil have found out about. And he's going to entice you in what you desire and what you crave. You can set chocolate in front of me all day long. You can put candy in a candy jar at the house, and I would. Buddy said, Pop, don't eat candy. I may eat one piece of candy in a week. Seriously. But you let them, Buddy, Doris and Marguerite, see candy, it's done. I got to hide candy in the drawer. They be like mouse, they can smell it. Do you understand? It's a craving that they have. Hallelujah. And the devil study us not to cause us to sin, but to find out what is our lust or our desire. The lust of the flesh. He wants to know when you conversate how much you desire. That's where death and life is in the power of the tongue. Because a lot of us tells him our hidden secrets and our desires. We also tell him our fears. And he uses that which he sees in us against us. So the cycle of sin starts with simply one thing, that lust that's on the inside of you, which you desire, that is forbidden. Isn't that amazing? Now I can understand what happened in the garden. Reason why he didn't classify it underneath the umbrella of sin. Because what happened was Satan seen the desires of Eve. What was her desire? Huh? What was her, say it strong,
knowledge.
She wanted to know, why was this tree in the garden forbidden for me to what? What's up with this tree that is so special that it is forbidden for me to eat? First day, okay. Second day, oh, it's no different than the tree of life. Okay. Third day, oh, there is something different with it. It's got some kind of fruit on it. Oh, wonder what that is. But everything God made was good. Next time, oh, look, there's somebody in the tree. Oh, well, if the animal in there, he must be eating in it. It must be okay. It happens over time. It doesn't happen like that. Because we are too smart for it to happen like that. Now, in the time of eternity, it happens like that. Y'all have to remember, we are in a different time than Satan is. So, where it's slow moving for us, there's no time to him. Because he is in what? So now, in order to defeat the sin cycle, you have to go back some years and re-examine your life of the weaknesses or the faults that you are at and some of the moves that you have made towards the sin that you are obtaining now in order to defeat it at the root. That's why a lot of us, hallelujah, can conquer, hallelujah, the strongholds in our lives, hallelujah. Because most of our strongholds that's in our lives happened when we was young. But to Satan, 30 years was just a season. Y'all comprehend? There's some question that you ask, ooh, that triggered an enticement. Now, enticement takes two things. It takes you and someone enticing you. Where lust is just a desire that's on the inside of you. You got me? All of y'all with me? I'm trying to take my time on this. You got to understand the sin cycle. All of us got lust on the inside of us. All of us got cravings and desires on the inside of us. All of us has the potential to sin on the inside of us. Have any of y'all ever craved, and I can explain this easier to those who have did drugs and alcohol more than I probably can to some people. I can also explain it to those that loves to eat. More than probably some. You ever tasted something or wanted something without having it, and it stayed with you, and it started off weak, but then it became stronger the more you tried to ignore it? Most of us happened when we were sexually active, then what? Stopped. I know with me, I dealt with the drug scene, dealing with coke when I first got off of it. It was hard. Man, you can wake up in the middle of night and have cold sweats and had dreams and breathe and like, whoo. Man, sometimes you thought you was high. I'm a lot Mike Jones. Same thing with people with alcohol. They say they can taste it. They can smell it. When somebody come by that got drunk, they can smell it in their skin. I used to smell when somebody was getting high. I ain't got high. Yeah, well, you must have got high last night. I mean, it's like your senses becomes extraordinary. And it was like, that's the lust. And then once you have that one seed of lust, the enticement is the people that he brings around you. It's the places where he takes you to cause that lust to be fueled. Y'all understanding me? You can easily stop it at the lust point. Once you get to stage two, the enticement point, it becomes harder to try to conquer the sin that's about ready to come on you. Enticement is simply this. Y'all ready? It's to be caught by a bait. It's like a worm placed in front of a hungry fish. Sooner or later, he's going to try. That's Satan's object in enticing you. Best fishermen is what? Those that are patient. Sooner or later, he's going to what? Bite it. Only thing a fisherman try to do is get in the area where the fish is. Hope I'm helping somebody out here. So devil's only movement that he does, he just want to be where you at. Now I fish. Pretty doggone good at it too. The key to fishing is to throw it away from him, to catch his attention, then to bring it closer to him the next time. Then to make it seem like it's crippled and it's easy for him to catch, but all the time you're fooling him so he can come after. Now, only a dumb fisherman would throw a fish what he don't desire. The reason why we all fail in the enticement stage is because we're never honest with ourselves. I ain't going to no crack house either. And I've been saved 20 years without being prayed up all up and having me a retriever to pull me out. Only a fool, me and Mike Jones be only a fool to sit up there and try to run a revival in a crack house. Me and Mike Jones sitting there running a revival, we all about, hallelujah. About half an hour been there. But the problem, this is the problem. You think it makes you weak when you're honest about where you are weak. Y'all got to remember, the devil studied you. How old are most of us over 25 in here? Hold on, you mother. Listen, all of us in here, he has studied us from one subject, watching all of your movements, placing things in front of you that you had totally ignored. Oh, she don't like that. Oh, that ain't a tight. Oh, ain't it used me using this? Aha. Did you hear what she said about that? Man. Hallelujah. Woo. When she watched that show, she pushed rewind.
Oh, man, she grunted. Look at him. He looking at her. Oh, he like him like that. Skinny. Blow hairs. Why do y'all think blow hairs are females of Miss Maryland persuasion? Why do y'all think that there's a movement with most African-American men that the same women type gets them trapped up? Y'all ain't never thought about that? The ones that are successful keep with their own. I looked at that. Most of them that are successful keep with their own and keep them out of the spotlight. LeBron James, same woman since high school. All that money he has, he runs. He knows. I'm telling you, the intelligent ones pay attention to details about themselves. If I'm constantly every day studying my own movements, my weaknesses and my strengths, I ain't got time to look at Diggs and find out where he's weak at. The sin cycle. A mature Christian is honest with themselves and realizes that they got lust on the inside of them and protect themselves from being enticed by the enemy. The next one, he is what? Drawn away by his own lust. In other words, he sees the enticement of the bait and he locks onto it and tries to fight it, but he's what? Hooked. Only the strong can break the line. Most fishermen, good fishermen, won't lose a fish when he's hooked because they don't try to use brute force. Guess what he does? Guess what he does? I'm a fisherman. Guess what? My line has a drag set on it. You know what a drag do? When a fish pulls more weight than my line can handle, my line don't reel anymore. It does this, skeet, skeet, and allows him to do what he got to do. You want to know why? Sooner or later, he's going to tire himself out. The devil is, do not try to drag you in right away. Once he got you hooked, he's going to play with you, mess with you, play with you, mess with you, mess with you, let you feel like you're going to get free, make you feel like you are a hook because a drag is set. And once you wear yourself out, he's going to reel you in. Drawing away means simply that you caught at this point. The sin cycle. A mature Christian will not allow himself to get to this place. Because once you're caught, even though you're still in the water, still in motion, sin has begun in your life. There's only one person now can do that movement, and that's Jesus Christ. And he makes them do what I like to call a catch and release. Put you back, but you still feel the effects of the hook in your mouth. The sin cycle. Y'all like that? Matthew says something very formal, very awesome when he dealt with this. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. In other words, even though the action has not been pronounced openly on the earthly realm, it is already done in his heart. In other words, he's already hooked. Or she is already hooked. It's just a matter of time from within your heart to be what? And at this point of time, we pick it up that sin is the immoral act considered to be transgression against God's law. It's the ending of the lust cycle, the enticement cycle, and the drawn away cycle. Sin is simply you miss what you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to act, and what you're supposed to do. But it has to reach the place where it's an immoral act, or it is done physically, which has already been done emotionally and spiritually, because it brings death to the body. But a mature Christian will not allow it to get to the place where it is sin. He cuts the lust off at the beginning. Do not allow the enticement to hook in. Pass by the tree, looked at the tree and said, oh, I see what God's talking about. I ain't going back this way no more. Takes the long way home. Let me express this to everybody in here. You can look on a female. The scripture never says that the looking was the problem. It said, look on a female to lust after her becomes the problem. You got me? So there is a movement between looking and lusting that I like to call the battlefield of the mind. Y'all with me? There's a moment when you see something and you can transform something that is good into something that is bad off of something on the inside of you that you desire. I can look at Gloria all day long, as long as I don't desire her. Lust has not came into my heart. Understanding. But church is so messed up because none of us can distinguish the difference between looking and lusting. If we're all brothers and sisters, we always should be looking at each other, not lusting. But there's a desire in every last one of us, a craving in all every last one of them that we have not dealt with. And that's why the lust is so strong. And that's why it goes from looking to lusting like that. Y'all with me? So what we need to do and what we have to start doing in our own lives is being honest with each other. Examine ourselves. Be honest about our shortcomings and weakness and deal with our desires. Because our desires need to be transformed over from individuals unto God. When you're a mature Christian, you can transform them desires over for good. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you for all that you said and done. We ask that you look over, watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.